Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It's Muck and Fun Day. It's also the fourth day of September 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 78 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson. And we're looking for a high of 93 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And we got a little bit of wind from the northeast, so I mean it's smoky out there, but man, it ain't like it. God, like it has been over the weekend. Monday there were ashes on my van. That's how thick it got here. I mean, it was unbelievable. And they're not doing a damn thing to try to put them fires out. They're watching them burn. They don't want to spend the money. I mean, what the hell? They'll go out soon enough on their own. They get to spend a lot of money, but they get to save a lot more for tourism, apparently. That being said, let's see what's on the itinerary. Trump administration ends DACA with 6-month delay. And we're definitely going to get into this as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Oh, you're going to take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then, Trump administration ends DACA with 6 months month delay, and this is from Fox News. The Trump administration on Tuesday announced the orderly wind down of the Obama-era program that gave a deportation reprieve to illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. as children, putting pressure on Congress to come up with a replacement. So that, you know, that campaign promise, every one of them's got to go. DACA is going to be gone. And an orderly wind down to a violation of the law. We're going to stop violating the law in an orderly fashion as we wind down the violation of the law. The Department of Homeland Security formally rescinded the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, known as DACA, with a 6-month delay for current recipients. So it's going to go on for 6 more. What he did is just he extended it for 6 months, didn't he? Or am I missing something here? According to Acting Homeland Security Secretary Ellen Duke, the interval is meant to give Congress time to deliver on appropriate legislative solutions. Well, so they're not going to go, right, Trumpy? You're doing everything you can to keep them here. you know, I seen a report, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I mean, they were pushing for these, the Dreamers, you know, I got to think about Wag the Dog and the campaign slogan, we're going to call them Dreamers, because we'll try to hook it to Martin Luther King, and I have a dream, and we're going to make these people Dreamers, these invaders. But anyway, go ahead. What's that? It's so, Charlie. I can't touch it with the powder puff. It's so. But anyway, so I'm listening to this report, and they're trying to push the Dreamer position here, but by telling me that most of the average Dreamer is 22 years old and has a job making $17.50 an hour. Now, if you're going to get that average of about 900,000 people, that's going to say that 300,000 jobs that our American young people could be doing at $17.50 an hour are going to these foreigners who came here as a crime. So, I mean, and they're talking about this is going to cost $60 billion or whatever the hell it is they're claiming to send all these bastards back, and it's going to kill us. We can't do without them, guys. We can't do this work ourselves.
Henry.
Yes, sir.
What are they talking about? Dreamers that got here 15 years ago? I mean, I'm confused. What? I mean, the ones that are born tomorrow don't get to stay, or the ones that have been here forever, are they going to go too?
There's none of them going anywhere to start with, Mark. What this is here is he's telling Congress, you got 6 months to give this country away that I don't have the authority. When this first started with Barack Obama, we came on the air and we explained to you people what they were trying to do here. Now, they know goddamn good and well that President Obama or that Kenyan that was pretending to be president of a United States that doesn't exist anymore. He was trying, what the idea here was, is, you know, he said 25 times, I do not have the authority. The president cannot do this. A president cannot do this 25 times. And then he did it. Well, and we told you back then what the agenda here was. And it was to establish that, well, yeah, the president can't give your country away to foreigners, but the Congress can. No, by God, they can't. Somebody needs to get out there. I mean, today I'm listening to them talk on the mainstream idiot box, and they're talking about how Congress needs to pass a bill to give amnesty that the president couldn't give, because the only problem really here was that the president didn't have the authority to do it. And I'm here to tell you, the Congress does not have the authority to do it. I mean, under their notion, oh, the Congress can legislate anything. They could just legislate saying all Americans got to leave. And let's say that people from India are going to come repopulate. As long as they legislate it, it's legal. Bullshit. They've never had the authority. None of them have the authority to give our country away to other people. But that's what this whole big production we've watched since this Obama era program instituted was that, you know, then they're going to have the court challenges, and the determination here is going to be president can't do, only the Congress can give your country away. Bull. No, they can't. They have no such authority. It is treason to even speak of it, not to mention that they know that the reason that they get, well, we're going into this article, they talk about the fact that, you know, they've tried this several times and the Congress couldn't do it. Why? Because the majority of these people in this country, I mean, and it has to be a hell of an overwhelming majority to even put any kind of pressure on these criminals. But they know that it is the mood of the people out here and the wants of the people are here, or they want everybody, they want them gone. That's how Trump conned his way into that White House, was with the notion that he's going to get rid of every goddamn one of them. I mean, had he come up and right away, I mean, even after he went and signed the War Powers Act, what we were screaming about on the radio or when it was happening, had he gone and deported, I mean, started the mass deportations, it would have been hard for me to even say anything against him, wouldn't it? I mean, I would have had plenty. I could show that, you know, he's in bed with the Jews, no doubt about it. You can't, and in bed with the international banks, and everybody been, F you, he's getting rid of the goddamn invaders. We're all going to be rich. We're going to have plenty of jobs. Screw you, Henry. But I mean, this isn't what happened, is it? Because there was never the intent there. This whole production has been to sell the American people on, well, the Congress can do it. No, they can't. And that's what everybody out there ought to be screaming. No, they can't. Show me the authority for the goddamn Congress to give our country to anybody. I'm here to tell you it don't exist.
Well, there's an article I read, I think it was on your site or it might have been on Drudge, they're already saying there's not enough people to handle all the Houston garbage. And, you know,
I've seen that route now. Yeah, it was on ours, and yeah, this is exactly what we said days and days ago when this was all going down. Now we need these damn illegal. I mean, those 100 million of our people out of work, they just don't want to work anymore. Worked 30, 40 years of their lives and just decided, well, I don't want to work no more. I'm retiring on welfare. I guess that's what everybody worked their whole goddamn life away for, to lose their homes, be put out in the streets in tent cities, and retire on welfare on the side of a riverbank where somebody is throwing shit at them because they're calling them homeless and don't want them there. I'm sure that's the way it is. I mean, this is so ridiculous. I mean, when they try to sell this, I look at them on the mainstream idiot box, and I see these media whores up there trying to sell this garbage, and it's just not selling. I think they know. I mean, and you see them come back with different approaches and different angles. It's not selling. The people have figured this out, and they're going to have a hard time with this. And I heard that after this was announced, when Sessions came up and announced this, they were talking about they had a parade of so-called conservatives. But these people here, I mean, they got to go back to their districts. They're not really conservatives. They're communists at heart. But they know they got to go back home. And that the people there are like, you lying, you dirtbag lying sons of guns. Look what you told us, and look what you're doing. This is not getting rid of every one of them. We're not stupid. And that's just 80,000, or what was it, 80,000? I think I can't remember. Maybe it's 800,000. It says down in here. 800,000. That's just getting rid of 800,000 of them. And you couldn't even do that. You were supposed to get rid of every one of them. Now, man, they're harping, build that wall, build that wall. What's the use to build the wall now? They're already here. And they're still pouring across the border. I mean, we get this little propaganda piece every other day where we've arrested some of them bad dudes. We got 4 out of the country today. Man, about 4,000 were coming in. It's not flying. And I mean, people are seeing it. I mean, this is the best this communist known as Donald Trump could do. Because I'm telling you, he's not only a communist, but he's an international billionaire. And international billionaires, man, you just won't see them shipping cheap labor out of a country they're planning to exploit and rob. The Department of Homeland Security formally rescinded the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program known as DACA with a 6-month delay for current recipients, according to Acting Homeland Security Secretary Ellen Duke. However, I want to be clear that no new initial requests or associated applications filed after today will be acted on. But did you know what? They're talking in here. They can come back as long as you've got your this thing in process. If it goes on in this article, we're going to go on into the article. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, speaking to reporters, blasted the Obama administration's disrespect for the legislative process in enacting the 2012 policy. He said the unilateral executive amnesty probably would not have been blocked by the courts anyway. The executive branch, it already had been blocked. I mean, they're acting like none of these injunctions happened, that it had not been declared by a court as illegal. The executive branch, through DACA, deliberately sought to achieve what the legislative branch specifically refused to authorize on multiple occasions, Sessions said, blaming the policy for the recent surge at the border. Such an open-ended circumvention of immigration laws was an unconstitutional exercise of authority by the executive branch. Now, would that, I mean, let's just look at that statement. Such an open-ended circumvention. Now, I love the way they use these big words. It's like when, you know, they commit crimes and they call them scandals. But let's look at this. Such an open-ended, or when they lie and they call it, they misspoke. Or they spoke erroneously. Such an open-ended circumvention of immigration laws was an unconstitutional exercise of authority by the executive branch. So it was an illegal exercise of authority by the executive branch, meaning that the executive officer that did it broke the law. Now, did this executive officer who has been determined to have broken the law, was he prosecuted for breaking the law? No. But I tell you, Trump ran on the notion that he had broke the law, that Obama had broke the law. He said it many times. He violated the Constitution. To violate the Constitution is to break the law, or else there ain't no law in this country, is there? So admittedly, he broke the law. So the next guy steps up, and man, he's the guy that's going to bring law and order back. And what's he do? Oh, we get a six-month delay. Why did they call this what it is? I love the way they put a six-month. No, a six-month extension is what this is. Call it what it is. And now he is just as guilty as Obama for continuing this breach of our law. If you and I broke the law and they caught us breaking the law, then we'll give you a couple of weeks to quit robbing banks, to quit committing fraud, mail fraud. We'll give you a couple of weeks. Wind down from it. Orderly. We want an orderly wind down of your crime.
Yeah, why is he laying it off on the Congress, Henry? I mean, either he can do it or he can't do it, right? I mean, you know.
He can't. The whole idea was clear back to Obama was to try to sell the American people that the executive branch, the chief executive, the president, does not have the authority to just say that these illegal aliens, these invaders, can come in and that and give them amnesty and hence a part of our country. See, that's what it was all about all along. We said that way back then. And now that we've got up to this point, now he's really telling the Congress, you really need to go and exercise that authority that you do have. We've established that, right? No, we haven't. You do not have the authority to give this country away. And we could talk about just in the Dreamers was the equivalent, the amnesty between DACA and DAPA was the equivalent of another population of the state of Oregon. If that many people come into your country, they're taking that big of a portion of your country. There's no other way to, I mean, that's reality. That's physics. And that's what's happening. But this is what I'm telling you today. I mean, you heard it several times. I mean, they're mealy-mouthing it. They know better. They absolutely know better. This is a sham, another sham, yet another sham. They're trying to sell to the American people. But the fact is that the majority of the people wanted them out of here in the first place. And they're really, when they're even talking about this, they're kind of looking sheepishly down at their feet and saying, well, the Congress really needs to act on this and go ahead and give half a part of the country away to these foreigners without the consent of the people. The people never gave them any such authority to give our country away. In fact, through the people's representatives, the laws for immigration were laid out. And I've got to believe that they were conned and pushed by the industry who wanted cheaper labor all the time. As many people as they get in here, that's just more cheap labor for them. Drives the price of labor down. I mean, it has to. It's called supply and demand, and it does work on our level. So when it come up to the point where the rubber meets the road, these people are coming up and they're, he's going to have to go. We're going to have to go to the Congress. Only the Congress can fix this. No, they can't. They do not have the authority. And that's what everybody's got to be shouting out there. The president cannot do this, and the Congress, nor the Senate, no government, no part of this government has the authority to give our country away to foreign nationals. And that's what they're doing. They're saying if a million of them come in here, let's try to simplify this. Let's say we have $1 million pile of just fiat bills, worthless paper, but let's just do it for the play of the game. You got a million pile up there, and you got 500,000 Americans sitting there to own that pile, and you bring in another million, I guess everybody's getting about 20 cents, aren't they? That pile was taken by foreign, that's wealth being taken by a foreign entity. It's being taken by Mexico. I mean, a lot of this wealth that's being taken out of our country is going right back over the border. And I mean, man, any other country in the world, I mean, our founders would have been like, no, this is not how you preserve your freedom. You have to own the country for you to have it. We've talked about it before. It was supposed to be us under the guise of free enterprise, trading with one another. Now I trade something to you, you trade something to me. I mean, I make a little bit on it on this side and I trade with somebody else. But what happens here is the wealth stays with us. It's not going somewhere else. If somebody else comes in here like China and they do these deals like with these borrowing money, in the end equation, what you're doing is selling off parts of your country. It's becoming less and less yours and more somebody else's. And once it becomes enough somebody else's, then they can come in with a democracy and say, well, the people that own the place have voted and they want socialism. In fact, they want international communism. Got to go with the people on this. But this is what our founders meant when they wanted this to be, they started out as 360 acre self-sufficient farms. And we were to trade with one another. If we always traded with one another, I mean, there was no such thing as we wouldn't have exports. But the exports came with the huge tariff coming in the other way. It was protected to the point to where we were never selling off a portion of our country in our deals. And that's all that we have done for the past 100 years is sell off portions of our country in these deals through these phony, fraudulent loans from foreign entities. Why would a country, if you got a pile of gold as big as Mount Rushmore, why would you want to be over there borrowing money from the Chinese, who have nothing? They had no industry until some thieves from this country, some traitors from this country, took our industry, shipped it over there. Still, they had nothing until they took our resources and took them over there for them to manufacture in our factories that had been moved over there. Can't people see that? This is how you lose a country. This is how somebody else from somewhere else says, well, I own that part over there. I did a deal with Bob over there, and Bob traded with me, and now I own over there. And I know I'm not from here, but hey, now the part of that's China. No, it ain't. Because our founding documents forbid all of the above, and none of it's legitimate. It's all fraud. And that, people, is why there's 1.4 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition. Because when push comes to shove, we can enforce this. We can show the fraud. It's blatant. Prima facie. I mean, they put them on the gallows. In their own admissions, the fraud is, blatant. And they know it. That's why we have to, this is why they want, because we do own it and we own the resources, the very idea of us working at slave wages to manufacture our own resources to be shipped out of this country is, that should be enough to tell us we're doing something real wrong here. Because it was never meant that foreigners would be gaining anything from our country. It's for the American people, not for the world. You could call our founders racist and protectionists, whatever you want, but they did it for us, not for the other peoples of the world, for their own progeny, for us. It all belongs to us. And see, I heard them dickering. I won't call them fascists because they're all communists. But this element on Fox News, what the heck is his name? Stuart Varney. You know, the Briton who came over here and got his citizenship. And now he's telling me how my country works and how it should be run. And he's talking out up against the $15 minimum wage. And see, he's coming out here saying, oh, you got, because the industry, well, you get $15 an hour. But, you know, we're talking, it's like when we talk about the guns and we talk about the fact that only honest people, follow the laws. The dishonest people will shoot. You don't follow the gun laws. It's the same stupid argument. $15 an hour? Bite me. You know how rich the American national is? I don't care if you pay me anything to work for you. It's my resources that you are sucking out. That I need to be compensated for. And you couldn't give me $15 to work for you. You'd have to give me $50 or $60 an hour to even think about it. I don't need it. I got my own resources here. I build my own business. It's called free enterprise. I have access to the riches of my nation, to the natural resources, to the raw resources that I can produce product from. And see, this is what people are failing to see. The communists are out there, $15 an hour, slave wage. That's slave. This is what you want for your cut of this country? $15 an hour, I pee on it. It's a lie. It's bullshit. It's not real. If we threw everybody out of here who has come here through an act of fraud against our wishes and took back all that has been blatantly on paper, stolen from us. Just the riches that are accumulated from the labor what we have produced, it would be mountains of wealth. We wouldn't know what to do with it. This is how much they've stolen from us. And they got us here bickering around, $15 an hour. Really? Really? Let's see what's going on here with this DACA. The executive branch through DACA, deliberately sought to achieve what the legislative branch specifically refused to authorize multiple occasions, Sessions said, blaming the policy for the recent surge at the border. The Trump administration was facing a Tuesday deadline to make a decision on DACA or face legal action by Republican state AGs who hoped to force the president's hand in discontinuing the program. A day earlier, Sessions sent Duke a letter with the legal determination that the 2012 executive action was unconstitutional. That means if it was unconstitutional, it was in violation of our law, people. Nobody's going to go to jail for this. You know how much this has cost us? How much it has cost the generation behind us in their jobs and in their schooling? There were positions in the colleges and stuff where we were taken by these invaders. and supported by unlawful cabal in Washington, D.C. Criminals. That's what he's saying here. I mean, if he violated the Constitution and the Constitution is the law, isn't that a violation of the law? Or am I missing something here? And this is something, you know, they sit right there in that mainstream idiot box. And they say the same things. And then they say, and then the next breath, they're telling you, Obama's going to be up and he's going to be criticizing. What, you ain't under arrest? It's just like, they've gotten us to the point to where we just look at him committing these heinous crimes against us. And it's just, well, of course, they're not going to jail. There's not even nobody's talking about it. But you better have that seatbelt on. Your signal light better be working, right? Or they might kill you. But these violations of the law that affect each and every one of us across this country, they just tell you about it. Yeah, evidently it was a complete violation of the Constitution. Well, not bringing in the fact, well, that's the law, ain't it? I think the Constitution's the law. And if it's unconstitutional and they did it, and wouldn't it be premeditated? Because didn't he say 25 times his own self, the old constitutional college professor, old Barack Obama, that it was unconstitutional? He didn't have the power. And then he did it anyway. Isn't that premeditated? In the world of this idea of law, isn't that premeditated? And not only is nobody going to jail, but we're giving a 6-month extension on it, on the crime being committed. We're going to let it, it's like the, you know, the crime of them crossing the border. Once somebody crosses the border, well, they just committed that misdemeanor. No, every day they're here, they commit it over and over again. That's how they would charge you and me, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be? You'd have 60 counts against you for the same incident because you just did it the next day. If you did the same thing the next day and the next day and the next day, you continued to commit the crime. Wouldn't they charge you day after day after day until they had a stack of felonies against you so big that they'd have to, they'd put you in a prison and pipe air to you? Or am I missing something here? This is the outrage that, I mean, that this whole thing, they come up and Trump with his little freaky face and that Sessions, that weasel face, little bastard. They come up and they spill this stuff to you and you're just supposed to be, okay, nada. I want Barack Obama. You've just told me that he deliberately broke the law. I want him arrested. I want Hillary Clinton arrested. I want Donald Trump arrested because he just now became the father of this, I mean, an extension of the breaking of the law, didn't he? Or am I missing something here? We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 12:37 Pacific Time. And that was Audio Slave with Drown Me Slowly, and that's what it feels like. Excuse me. All righty, more outrage. U.S. Rescues ISIS field commanders, and this is sent in by Sophie Mingle to From the Trenches. I guess it's her own story, and cool Sophie. But, I mean, here again, blatant treachery right in your face, and you're just supposed to, well, some good things are happening once in a while. No, they're not. The new evidence regarding the United States-led international coalition interested in pursuing political interests in Syria instead of fighting ISIS continue to be reported. There are a lot of facts proving the assistance of the United States Special Services to high-ranking ISIS field commanders. Well, yeah. I see John McCain with his arms around him. I mean, they're buddies, but hey, man, they'll tell you who your enemies are and when they're your enemies. And this is about regime change in Syria for the Zionist over there in Israel, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty plain and simple. Against the background of the successful steps of the Syrian Arab Army, that's SAA, towards Deir ez-Zor and the defeat of ISIS, Washington has started to evacuate its agents for further use in other areas. Well, yeah, they're over in the Philippines. They're all over the world. I mean, you need a crisis to secure a resource from a foreign country. Well, you just send in your ISIS and, you know, they start disrupting and you got real problems that need to be solved by, well, occupation. So you can occupy them and secure their resources for our Jew masters. Let's call them what they are. They're not Jews. On August 26th, the United States Air Force helicopters evacuated two European ISIS commanders, along with their families, from the settlement of Al-Trif, I guess it would be, which is located to the northwest of Deir ez-Zor. And I missed a paragraph. Okay, in addition, on August 28th, the International Coalition Aviation relocated more than 20 ISIS commanders from Abu Leil village to a military airbase in northern Syria. Well, yeah. Again, here you have blatant, in-your-face treachery against your people, against your country. And, I mean, there's no prosecutions. You know, this stuff can be reported and it can be verified. But, you know, that's kind of what they do. You know, they're professional criminals. And you can't expect them to come outside their, perimeters. And so this is just our policy to do this. So our policy outweighs any kind of laws. I mean, we're international corporation. It's not the first time U.S. intelligence agencies have rescued field commanders in Syria. In May 2017, the U.S. helicopters picked up dozens of ISIS leaders and foreign mercenaries from the settlement of Al-Khazar. Let us remind you that the similar operations were carried out near Raqqa in June and July 2017. So, well, yeah. I mean, this is what we've come to the point to where this shit like this don't even shock us anymore. It's like, well, yeah, that's what they do. It's a pretty criminal international cabal. That's a fact. I mean, they're international gangsters and they're running the world for the world banks and for the international Zionist Jews. And, well, yeah, that's the way it works. How about some good news? Anti-gun researchers frightened by how many guns Americans own. Well, they should be. This is from the New America. It was sent in by JSTP for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. The virulently anti-gun group, The Trace, sent an email blast to its members last week, alerting them to what it said was the danger of an overly and unnecessarily armed American citizenry. Well, one thing, lady, we're not citizens, we're nationals, and boy, we are armed. We're armed to the teeth, and we're getting so sick of this crap that we look at every day. that it's the time is coming where we're going to have to do something about it. Jennifer Macia, I guess it's Macia, a member of the team Trace, pulled some numbers from the Small Arms Survey, which gauges gun stockpiles in the hands of civilians, no nationals, law enforcement, and militaries around the world. She found that with an estimated 270 million firearms owned by everyday Americans, civilians own 70 times more weapons than all police and military services combined. Well, yeah, that's what we've been telling y'all along. Largest armed force to ever exist on planet Earth, and man, people, we can correct this. I mean, it's not going to be in short order because we can't come together on it. But it has to be done. Even if at the end of it, we got to battle each other to establish that we're going to have a free country and nobody's going to get to run our lives for us. Macia is what it, M-A-S-C-I-A, Macia. Is an editorial assistant at the New York Times and was a regular contributor to its anti-gun column, The Gun Report, until it was shut down in 2014. Her source, the Small Arms Survey, is an international anti-gun group purporting to provide accurate statistics on all aspects of private gun ownership worldwide. Unfortunately, its reputation for accuracy has been tainted, with much of its reporting being challenged as misleading or just plain wrong. In this instance, however, the numbers Macia dug up from the outfit actually understated the concerns she expressed about how many firearms are owned by those everyday Americans. The real number isn't 270 million, not even close, but it's at least 100 million higher, at least my butt, man. I'm telling you, if there ain't close to a billion firearms in this country, I mean, well, they go on to explain that, you know, these are just... the ones that people register and, you know, going along with the program. I mean, this generations of guns that are stashed, man. I mean, this country is, we got plenty of guns. There's no excuse for us taking the crap we do. At least 100 million higher, and even that number is likely too small, given gun owners' propensity not to be forthcoming to pollsters asking questions about their gun ownership. In any event, Macia's revelation is instructive. If she and her group are getting nervous, that's good news for supporters of the Second Amendment. No, I don't know about no Second Amendment. I know the second article to the First Amendment, which is my right to own and bear arms. Those supporters must be doing something right. Indeed, if the goal of anti-gunners is total confiscation of all privately owned firearms, as has been shown repeatedly by mouthpieces such as California Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein, who said, "If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate for an outright ban, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it." And you would be dead by now, Diane. You would have been hung. I mean, this is why, I mean, I wish you people just quit mealy-mouthing around and just step up and give it a go. I mean, like, we're only the largest armed force on planet Earth. Surely an old crone like Dianne Feinstein can take our guns away from us. Then their job has gotten a lot harder. How would confiscation be accomplished, question mark? Writer and economic historian Gary North stated, they could get some Americans to turn their guns in if the penalties were stiff enough. But the stiffer the penalties, the tighter the really hardcore gun owners are going to hold onto their guns. The stiff penalties will send a message. You were right. We are after your guns. God, if you don't see that by now, then we're going to take your liberties. Well, they've already taken our liberties. About the only thing we got left is our guns. The numbers are truly daunting to the gun grabbers. It would mean that someone or perhaps a team would ultimately have to knock on the door of every household in America and demand the owner surrender his firearms. The fact that they would not know just where those firearms are and who owns them doesn't help. Who would take on such a task? The local sheriff, who is running for re-election? A federal official, perhaps a U.S. Marshal, but there are fewer than 4,000 U.S. Marshals in the federal government. That's why they're trying to consolidate what they call law enforcement, what is their standing army of jackboot thugs across this country. That's why they're giving military equipment to your local cops, and everybody's cooperating on everything except getting rid of those goddamn invaders from the south and north and east and west from all over the world. They can cooperate on anything for Jewland. They can cooperate on anything that oppresses the American nationals. just that one thing they can't get together on. But this is when it does happen, it will be a consolidation of what they or what they're calling law enforcement, which is an illegal occupation. Could federal government turn the military against the citizenry? Well, they would, of course, that'll be a part of it. But all of the military isn't going to turn because, well, they come from, well, more and more not, but mostly they're supposed to come from our families in this country, which there's not supposed to be any standing army. I mean, this stuff is really hard to talk about. None in the anti-gun media has ever dared ask that question. North asked just, yes, they have. We've seen the questionnaire going into the military. Would you fire on American civilians? And if you won't, boy, I mean, you're going to peel potatoes or do something else. You're not going to advance very far. North asks just how gun confiscation could happen in, say, Harlem. I can hear it now. I don't know why you pick Harlem because, I mean, there people are going to shoot down there for darn sure. But that'll be actually the last place that they really go to. If there's gun confiscation happens in this country, the people they're going to go after first are the people who won't resist so that they can have success and show success. If they go, I mean, if and this is where the people have to become savages once again. And when each house has to be, man, we lost two or three there. We lost four or five here. I mean, we're going house to house, but every damn house is fighting. They're coming out like savages. They're fighting us. This is how we win in short order. It'll be the complicity that will gauge how many of us have to die to get this shit straightened out. I can hear it now. See, you knock on a door. The man comes to the door. You ask him this. Are you Willie Williams? I can hear the response. Who wants to know? Your response. I'm with the federal government. We have learned that you own a gun. I want you to go get that gun and hand it over to me. He might very well go and get that his gun. I don't think he would hand it over to you. And I mean, I don't know why they use Harlem as an example. They're going to run into far harder resistance in the suburbs, in the heartland, and the place where people have been thinking about this for a long time. And they're not going to just somebody come up and ask at their door, and they've got a 9mm pistol that they turn upside down to shoot. They're going to face some real. They're going to face some combat. He might very well go and get his gun. Attempts to register guns, not confiscation, mind you, just registration in Connecticut are not going well. No, they're not. I mean, comes a point people see it. I mean, I'm a law-abiding citizen. They're still trying to take my gun. I guess I better nut up and not do it. And a lot of it ain't been because people were cowardly in it, just because they were stupid. They felt, this is a good government. It's our government. Government of the Constitution, don't you know? No, it ain't. We just went over that. Demands that gun owners register their hated assault weapons with the state are being ignored by the vast majority of those owners. The latest, and this is what it will come down to. This is when the rubber will meet the road. We'll just say, nope, ain't doing it, ain't going to do it. The latest reports are that fewer than one out of every seven are complying with the law, which totally baffles Connecticut polls. Such as one of the bill's supporters, I don't know what polls are, State Senator Tony Guglielmo. I honestly thought from my own standpoint that the vast majority would register. If you pass laws that people have no respect for and they don't follow them, then you have a real problem. Yeah, you do. And I mean, this is why they're really nutting up and they're tense about it, because when your average Joe idiot starts saying no, you got a real problem. I mean, it's just, Joe Sixpack that goes, no, you ain't taking my gun. You're not taking my, it ain't no assault rifle. It's my AR-15. You're not taking it. Got it? I'm not giving it over to you. I know what comes next. And you're going to after my rights. And stupid son of a bitch don't even know his rights already been taken from him. But, I mean, this is the mentality. He's right. He does have a problem. American gun owners, even in the extremely liberal state of Connecticut, are not simply going to roll over and give up their guns. What about marginal attempts to confiscation, such as legislation passed in Oregon, which would allow people to petition the government to take away a person's guns? The NRAILA, National Rifle Association Institute for Legislative Action, expressed its outrage. By allowing a law enforcement officer, family member, or household member to seek the Extreme Risk Protection Order, SB That'd be Senate Bill 719A, would allow people who are not mental health professionals, and see what the argument they go into here? Well, they're not mental health. It'd be all right if they were all mental health professionals. They could go ahead and take your guns. No, That second article has no exceptions. You've committed no crime. They cannot just come and decide that something might happen on the pretext of, well, something could happen and come and take your guns. They'd love to, but it will not wash with the second article of our People's Bill of Rights. Anyway, not mental health professionals who may be mistaken and who may have may only have minimal contact with the respondent to file up. See this argument? Screw your argument. Shove it in your butt. It's not going to fly. You can't take my gun. Well, because you can't take my gun. Second article says it. It's mine. Absolute. And if you, any attempt to do it, it would have to be in the common law, which there are no courts in this country. They've all been the courts in the jurisdiction, the Bill of Rights have been removed. So actually, in reality, there's no way you can take my gun at this point in the ballgame. Not even another American national can do it. They don't have access to a court. Nobody can take your gun lawfully. They can come and try and take it unlawfully, and you can use the gun to enforce your right. Okay, have minimal contact with the respondent to file a petition with the court and testify on the respondent's state of mind. The ex parte order, which strips the accused of their Second Amendment rights, no, it don't. It can't. This is just brute force. This is all it is. Call it for what it is. Would be issued by a judge based on the brief statement of the petitioner. The accused would not be afforded. The only way to get my gun is if I committed a crime against somebody with it. Or if you're going to take it as a payment for something I owe you in a court. That's the only way it can be done. And again, the courts are gone. So there is no way you can take my gun except, well, to take it, to actually take it. And there is none of it's lawful. It's just you taking from me if you can do it. The accused would not be afforded the chance to appear in court. It doesn't matter. There is no court. And there is no action. There is no authority for none of this. In court to defend themselves against the allegations when the ERPO is issued. These orders may be issued without any allegations of criminal behavior. Well, no, they can't. I mean, they can say they can, but no, really, they can't. You have the absolute right to shoot them, to blow their head right off their shoulders when they try it, because it is completely within your rights to do so. You have the right to defend your freedoms and your liberties. Just like the people at Lexington and Concord did. The king, he said, he wrote down and he said that he could come and take your guns away from you because you were his property. And he said, he wrote it down and signed his name to it and put an official stamp on it. We can go take the guns from them Americans and we can make them, subvert them to our authority. But you know what? When they showed up at Lexington and Concord, no, they couldn't. Why couldn't they? Well, because the people weren't having none of it. They said, no, you can't. Boom. Well, not exactly. While neither this writer nor this website supports such intrusion precarious rights, the NRAILA's concerns are overblown. And I wondered when this person goes into this bullshit here, because it really has nothing to do with the core question, can they or can they not? They just can't. But, he wants to go and play through this and talk about, all the requirements here. I don't care. None of this meets due process in the Bill of Rights, buddy. Let's see, who was this person? I don't see it there. Whoever wrote this. So what I'm saying is, he talks about official family members and house mates, thus reducing the risk of vacuous and malicious requests. The order can be granted or denied only by a judge within 24, and he lays down this criteria. The request must be made under oath and all this. Bull. Nuh-uh. Just saying that this is a protection does not change the fact that there's no authority for any of this. It cannot exist. The ninth article forbids it. It says that you cannot dabble, and you cannot have a request, you cannot have a history of suicide, you can't bring up none of this, it doesn't matter. The second article says what it says, and it ends in a period. There are no exceptions. If the person making the request is found to have knowingly provided the judge with false information or intended to harass the subject of the request, he can be sent to jail for up to a year. Well, you know what? No, he can be shot for trying to take my guns because there is no authority that exists. Lawful authority, it is usurpation, it is draconian occupational forces trying to disarm me, period. None of this crap applies. None of it. Let's see, what about confiscation of firearms during emergencies such as the unfolding in Texas and the Louisiana? And he goes on here to talk about the states have put things in place saying you can't do it. The states don't need to put nothing in place. The second article says you can't do it. And when people start enforcing that second article like they did at Lexington and Concord, well, then they're gonna say, well, I guess we couldn't. I better go read that. Oh, no, actually we couldn't, guys. The Vitter Amendment, which became part of the 2007 DHS Appropriations Act, prohibited such violations. And since Katrina, most states have passed laws prohibiting the confiscation of firearms during such an emergency. I don't care that states, I mean, what are they doing? I mean, the states have nothing to say about my guns, no more than the Fed does. That is my private property, the most private property I can have besides my own body. Americans are waking up to the threat of confiscation, either direct or indirect. Eternal vigilance is still required on the part of supporters of the second. It's not the Second Amendment, buddy. You need to go and you need to find out what you're talking about before you go writing articles pretending you understand the subject matter because you don't. At present, momentum is on their side. It's on our side. Yeah, it is. And it's called the Bill of Rights. It has nothing to do with, you people in your phony arguments that, I mean, you're treasonous even presenting arguments like that. There is no argument that can be presented for or against. It's just the Bill of Rights in the second article is just what it is. That's all. And we don't discuss, there's no discussing it. There ain't saying that, well, we're going to do this. You don't need to protect it. It's protected. It says absolutely that it is absolute and that I can shoot you if you try to take it away from me. Because how do I know that? Because that's what my ancestors did at Concord Bridge. They shot you when you tried to take their guns. And that's exactly what I'll do. That being said, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. Until then, stay tuned for It's Time to Break Free with David Rock coming up right behind us. And that is The Word from the Trenches.